This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by Organifi, home of green juice. You can check them out at organifi.com and use the code FITCAST, that's FITCAST, to save 20% at checkout. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm so pumped because this is one of my great opportunities to meet someone that I've been following for like years on the internet. And this is what happens. It is the magic of what has made this show so great and so awesome to do over the years. Is sometimes it takes an email. It takes an email to just say, hey, what's up? And then you go from there saying like, all right, let's set up a time and let's talk on the podcast because I've wanted to talk to you for a long time. And that's Dr. John Russin. John, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
And I'm pumped because you got a great microphone. So you're already batting 1,000 as we start.
The way that you sound is a game changer for podcasts.
it's a $60 microphone and a mic arm, but there's a really good way to step up your podcast, and that's by not using your iPhone headset to do your podcast. But I digress because we're not doing a show on podcast production. We're doing a show where we're actually going to be going in a ton of different directions. And the first thing I will mention is I like to kind of start off these and talk to the Patreon folks and people that are supporting the show. So I really appreciate you guys because, as I mentioned in a couple previous episodes, and I don't know because who knows what the future will bring, but right now, currently there are no sponsors for the show. So the Patreons, those are the people that are really helping support the show and helping me produce this every single week with my crazy schedule. And of course, the people that are making one-time or monthly donations through PayPal as well at fitcast.network. So I just want to say thank you for doing all that, guys. So as we go forward into this, John, like it was actually really cool when we were like kind of putting together like subjects to talk about on this show because we can really go in so many different directions. But I think maybe the best place to start, and don't worry, like I sometimes scare the audience because we're going to talk a little about the fitness industry at the start, but we're absolutely going to be talking about stuff that's applicable for everyone, like the the people that just like training and rehab stuff. We're absolutely going to get into that stuff too, but I just want to get started talking about some fitness industry stuff because it is always it's fun to talk to different people about it, especially with people that had been like basically running the practice, like running the facility, doing the day to day stuff, and doing what is a lot of times the opposite of what like the, and I hate this term, but it's like the fitness industry internet personality or something like that kind of never does that part. And just starts like writing articles without really training many people, or they just create some awesome marketing and they hit the ground running and go from there. But I mean, you just started like really getting into like the article stuff, like really knee deep in it the last couple of years. What like drove you to start saying like, all right, well now I'm going to go see what this internet thing is all about and spread some information out there for people.
Well, I was like many trainers and physios out there that I was just grinding 60-hour weeks, spending every single day, 5, 6, 7 days a week in work, in practice. Yeah. And we got to the point where I did that for a couple of years. I was a strength coach before I got into physical therapy. So I thought I had something to say about our practices. I thought I had something decent to write about, an expertise that was a little bit left and right of the status quo. Mm-hmm. But it pushed me, my wife pushed me, but also there was a time in my life where there was just like one moment that said, hey, I think we need to start doing more. I think we need to get out to more people. And that was actually the passing of my father. And my dad was like a really influential person in my life because he was in sports performance. He was an athletic director. He was a university professor. And he used to sit in front of classes, of 1,000 people and lecture every day. Mm. And I used to think like, damn, like that is a lot of people, a lot of students, a lot of professionals now out in the field that he's touched over his career.
Yeah.
And then I looked at my career and I was like, well, I'm seeing one person at a time for an hour. I'm like, I'm maxed out at like 10 people a day. So I kind of did the math on it. I was like, how can I get some of my messages out there to a broader audience? And one opportunity led to another, and I had my first article published, and that was about 3 years ago now. And we've been regular on, I think, probably about 10 different sites regularly every single month ever since. So it's been a crazy journey.
Well, I've been reading, I read a lot of your stuff from T-Nation. Like T-Nation yep. is a place, and this is me speaking, like T-Nation has definitely gone through like a transition over the years, you know, where there's like a different set of authors, there's a different set of themes that are covered in those articles. And I believe like this is a time where it's definitely, you know, coming back on the up and up, like with people like, you know, you there. I mean, Tony's writing there a lot. Will Fleming is writing there. Will actually is kicking ass on stuff these days.
Definitely.
And of course, you know, buddy Ben Bruno. But I absolutely, if you guys kind of like maybe fell out of touch of T-Nation, you know, go over there to check out John's stuff and check out those other guys' stuff. It's absolutely worth going over there. And you don't, like, that's a stigma. You don't need to go buy their supplements. It's okay. You can just read the awesome articles on there. That's good
right.
too. So yeah, like there's a couple of places that I want to go off of that. And like, this is kind of the thing that we're talking about in terms of fitness professionals, because now it's like everyone is running to, you know, get their, it's almost like the gold rush right now still, where I feel like fitness professionals are still trying to, you know, find their niche or like find their spot where they can find an audience, because that's kind of like what you need to grow if you're not just going to be, you know, in the clinic or in the gym, you know, day in and day out. And like, I feel for those people, because I was talking to someone last night who I won't mention, but like he's working 12 hours a day yep. and you know, he's grinding, and he's like, at some point, like there is no growth. It's just more hours.
And, what's the sustainability factor from a 12 hour
exactly.
day for multiple years? You know, it's tough.
I mean, I feel like as I scale things back at Mike Bull Strength and Conditioning, as I go towards more of the business side of things, like I would go in and I would see like coaches that have been there like from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Mike does his best to say like, guys, you got to go home in the afternoon when it's dead and take some time for yourself, like take a nap, like go out and do something just so you can like literally like hit refresh before you come back in. Because I know I wouldn't have been able to do, you know, that type of grind, that kind of hours. Like I'm dead coaching like one group a day, like, you know, right. no matter, you know, a bunch of different clients, a bunch of different groups and going through all that stuff. So props to, you know, that awesome badass staff that we have at NBSC. But, aside from that, career capital is something that we definitely wanted to bring up, and it's something you're actually going to be doing in an upcoming talk, and kind of being able, and I appreciate you sending me those slides a little bit early to kind of, you know, poke around and take a look at some of that stuff, because it's stuff that absolutely needs to be covered. So kind of, can you talk a little bit about, you know, where you're coming from with that stuff, and maybe the knowledge and the wisdom that you can kind of give to coaches and trainers out there?
Well, you know, the idea of career capital, it's nothing new. It's not exclusive to the fitness industry by any means, but it's something that I think needs to be appreciated if you are a trainer, you are a rehab professional that's stuck in this grind of 50, 60 hour weeks, because it's easy to fall into the status quo of the system. It's easy to look back and you've been doing the same thing for 10 years and you've been working the 6 days a week, 12-hour days, and you never really get anywhere because you never really defined what your unique skill set is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not everyone is going to be a writer. Not everyone is going to be Mike Boyle, but everyone has something unique to offer
mm-hmm.
based on their background, based on their expertise, based on their life experiences, their education, mentorship opportunities, you know, everything synergizing to create something authentic to you and only you, you know, mm-hmm. the differentiating factor that sets you aside from the guy to the left and to the right of you. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to try to figure this stuff out, because it's super easy to look up to somebody, you know, whether it be a peer or a colleague, or even somebody on the internet these days, and say, I'm going to do what they do. But the harder thing is to define what you can be truly great at. Not what you want to be great at,
mm-hmm.
but what you can succeed to the nth degree at. And, you know, that's something that building a huge amount of career capital will definitely help.
Well, I think this is something that resonates a lot with me personally in my career, because I get that question a lot. Like, you know, well, how did you get working at like Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, and how did you get to, you know, running all the stuff that you run there now? And I think one of the okay, let me take a step back, and I apologize, John, because this is your show, but this is like why this nailed with my like thought processes. I wasn't a great coach. I think I'm a great coach, but like you can get anyone to be a great coach, to be able to understand like, you know, how to get people to properly deadlift or do chin ups and progressions or regressions and all that stuff, programming. That's stuff that you can kind of teach pretty much anyone that's willing to listen. But what I came into MBSC with was a skill set that no one else had, which is the ability to like literally have basic computer knowledge. Like that's really all it was, because I was the kid in high school that, you know, everyone was going out and like finding like people's houses where parents were gone so they could drink and like smoke and stuff. And I was the one that was at home taking apart my computer, reinstalling Windows for the 18th time because I broke it again somehow, and, you know, trying to figure out how to create things with computers. And that's where the podcasting stuff came from. That's where all the video editing and video production stuff came from. And that was a skill. Even though there was no job for me at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, there was no spots open. They weren't like looking to hire people, but Mike saw that as something that would be valuable for the gym and be valuable for him and the company and stuff like that. And like 7 years later, like we've started three companies based off of, you know, a lot of the skills that I was able to bring to the table, and we've been able to leverage it in great ways. So I think if you're young in this industry, or you're even someone that like feels like they've been doing the same thing for a long time, a great way to differentiate yourself is just get, I mean, you might not even like this stuff. Like, I really like the computer stuff, but even if you don't like it, you got to get some basic knowledge down on how to properly create content on a computer. And you can do it at lynda.com. Like, do it. Like, it's super easy. Use YouTube, whatever. But that's a great way to separate yourself and bring huge value to someone that is potentially looking to hire someone.
I agree. I mean, you have to have some differentiating factor. It could be anything, but it needs to be specific to you, because, you know, this day and age, you know, computer skills are great. Creating content's great, but guess what? Everyone's been doing it. Been doing it for close to a decade now. So you talking about the same exact subject as 20,000 other trainers, it's not going to get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out what separates you, that's the biggest thing, because mastery in fitness, it's very mundane, mm-hmm. just like you were saying. You know, once you know how to deadlift, how to teach the squat, progress chin-ups and overhead positioning of the shoulder, what else is there? You know, that is the factor that makes us all trainers and professionals in our industry. Mm-hmm. But what's the one factor that you can bring in and synergize? You know, do you have a degree in dietetics? Do you have a rehab background? Do you have something that is above and beyond with communication skills that will allow you to stand in front of a camera, shoot captivating YouTube videos, yeah. and connect with a unique audience? You know, defining that one thing, that can open up doors for you, because guess what? Everyone's smart now. Everyone has great educations. Everyone's going through amazing internship opportunities. Mm-hmm. But the small things that people most of the time overlook, that's what's going to make the biggest difference in creating a sustainable career, definitely in this industry.
Well, like, are there any other like skill sets? I mean, there's people that, there's opportunities like going to massage school is a great way to add value to yourself as someone that is potentially looking to go somewhere else, or just to get a increase in rates and things like that. Also there's like kettlebell certifications. Like, are there any continuing ed opportunities that you kind of recommend for people in general, for just making sure that you either have a well-rounded education or things that could differentiate yourself or just give you kind of a leg up in the industry?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I catch some flack for my model, which is the hybrid performance therapy model, because I obviously have a education in exercise science and physical therapy. I hold mm-hmm. a license in physical therapy to do cool stuff like manipulate soft tissue and joints.
Right.
But not everyone's going to have that, and not everyone needs that. But with that hybrid therapy model, I think one of the coolest things, if it does fit your expertise, your skill set, and your interest, is going through and being a hybrid coach. Mm-hmm. So getting a licensed massage therapy certificate, going through DPT program, going into an ATC program, doing something that just goes above and beyond what somebody is expecting to get out of your session. So if you're a trainer or a coach, obviously you're going to work the fitness side of things. But what can you add to the fitness side of things that is going to create dynamic environments for not only creating results for your clients, but also having them enjoy the time that they're having with you and going above and beyond what they're expecting? So I think like that unexpected delivery of doing something different is going to be the thing that, you know, creates a career for you that is not only sustainable, but it's something that you can create an expertise in. Because there's not a whole lot of guys walking around the earth right now that are doing strength and conditioning with the DPT background. There's not a whole lot of guys that are integrating massage into their personal training. You know, obviously that's the hybrid model. There's probably 200 or 300 guys doing that in the US right now. But the point is you can do something that will differentiate you. And yes, you're going to bring in your clientele with fitness, with your training background, but you're going to keep them and you're going to get raving fans out of delivering something above and beyond.
Yeah, if you don't mind me, you know, praising a couple of my staff again, but I mean, that's what has really propelled Kevin Carr, Brendan Rurick, and Marco Sanchez at our gym is like they all like got massage therapy certifications and they went to massage therapy school. So they can do those, those things like you can touch people and, you know, have a license to do it, to manipulate tissue and stuff like that. And, you know, they've been able to run with that by having a clinic that also includes, you know, personal training and stuff like that as part of our building. So it's a huge added value for the gym, but also like those are the people that potential clients go to first because like, wow, they have this great well-rounded background and it's kind of like the same price. So, but you mentioned a book, So Good They Can't Ignore You, an awesome book by Cal Newport. What big take-home points? I mean, it's kind of partially in the title, and this is something that we've been hitting on for a little bit. But,
yeah.
You know, but can you give like a little bit of a pitch on why people should, you know, go check this book out? I've recommended a bunch in the past, and it's an absolute like, I don't know, like a top 10 book that people should read no matter what you do. But what were your take-homes from it?
Well, I think there's the take homes that everyone think about. But my biggest thing was that you don't necessarily pick what you're going to be great at, what you're going to have the most success at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get an opportunity, and if you have built up that career capital, you have great experience, and you've been working your ass off, then, you know, the industry will choose which path that you can be successful in. Mm-hmm. And it just goes down to the point where, you know, I never thought I was going to be sitting here talking about the hybrid physical therapy model. when I was a kid, I just wanted to play sports. And I went to undergrad playing sports. And I also went in thinking I was going to be a strength coach. And I continued to think I was going to be a strength coach even when I was in graduate school. And if you would have told me that I would have been talking about physical therapy, a kid that would never go to physical therapy a day in his life before I walked into DPT school, I would have thought you were nuts. But certain things led to opportunities. Opportunities led to more opportunities. And you create an expertise in a subject that doesn't it's not necessarily the sexiest thing or the thing that you wanted to take down, you know, going out early on in your career. But again, it's a skill set always trumps the passion or what you want to do. A lot of people want to do things, but they don't have the skill set or the expertise necessary to go through and actually be successful at them. I know that sounds like really, really kind of like put down-ish, but it doesn't mean that you have to go into a different industry. It means that you need to kind of roll with the punches and see where you can get there. You know, early on in my career, there's this there's this coach, a mentor of mine, and he started out as a massage therapist. And he was literally doing massage 4, 5, 6 sessions a day. And his breaking moment was when one of his clients, who was an NFL player, the client had a strength coach cancel an appointment with him. And this guy went from doing massage on this guy to training him in the parking lot after the massage. And the rest is history. You know, this guy's a legend now. But he never thought he was going to be training NFL guys. He was doing massage. You know, he was going full bore into that. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with me. I was going full bore into strength and conditioning until I figured out that, hey, maybe there's a little hole where I can sit in the industry that really not a whole lot of people are doing. So it just leads to unique opportunities, but you have to, you know, match it with unique skill sets.
We're going to pause for just a second so I can talk to you guys about Organifi. So it's the third week that I've talked to you about their incredible lineup of products. And like I mentioned before, for me, it's all about making sure that you can get high quality products that you're actually going to make sure that you use. And you're going to get an incredible deal if you go through the FitCast because you're going to save 20% on your order. Use that code FITCAST. You're going to get 20% off your order when you order at Organifi.com. So I mentioned in the past, they have their green juice, which is fantastic. It is awesome. They got their daily turmeric boost, and they also offer a great probiotic product. Again, it's all about making sure that you're getting high quality products because with the supplement industry, it is like the Wild West. And they've made sure that they put together an incredible lineup of ingredients for every single one of their products. And they're backed by a money back guarantee. You're going to get the opportunity to try this stuff out. And if you don't like it, you have 30 days to request a full 100% money back guarantee on every single one of your orders. And again, these things are fantastic because they also put them together like the green juice. They have them in the smaller packets as well. They call it the Organifi Go packet. That thing is awesome because you can throw a couple of those in your bag when you need to travel, when you're on the run for a busy day. You throw one of those in a bottle of water, you mix it up, you have a bunch of incredible nutrients for you that you can get on the run. And they're fantastic. Like I said, it's USDA organic. It's gluten-free. It's soy-free. It's dairy-free. And it is vegan. So it's going to be able to cover a bunch of your dietary options. Also on the website, you're going to be able to find packages that will save you an additional amount if you place an order. Again, use that code FITCAST to save 20%. 30-day money-back guarantee. Go and try them out. I'm positive. If you go and try their greens product, you're never going to go to another brand ever again. Go check them out at organifi.com. Use the code FITCAST to save 20%.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to put it. And God, I hope a lot of, you know, not even just like young coaches and trainers are listening to this, but even people who feel like they've been in the same spot for the last, you know, 2 years. Like, you should be trying to continue to grow and progress and keep this stuff exciting for you, because that's the thing. You know, you also mentioned in the talk, and that's something that, you know, I talk about a bunch, is, you know, nobody wants to hang out with that coach that doesn't really love what they're doing. Like,
right.
the kids that I get in my middle school groups now, like, they like look forward to coming, not because they don't care about like the program. They care because like we make sure it's always a blast for those kids. We make sure we're, you know, talking about like what TV shows they're watching and making it like about them, asking them how school is going. And, you know, they're always looking forward to coming back because it's an awesome environment. It's a lot of fun and it's like no pressure. It's a good setup. And the last thing that you want is, you know, those burnt out coaches that look like they're just kind of using the same program template from 5 years ago and they're just doing it for a paycheck and they don't really have that excitement and like, you know, fire in them anymore that they had when they were started.
Man, I come from a profession in physical therapy, you know, the run of the mill physical therapist. Mm-hmm. They check in at 9, they go home at 5, they do 5 days a week, mm-hmm. and they just do the bare minimum to get by.
Right.
But I mean, I think that's the reason why our medical system is pretty screwed right now. And there's this mm-hmm. emergence of specialty coaches and practitioners because there's a need for better care. There's a need for gold standard treatment. Mm-hmm. And the same can be said for fitness, that there's a huge difference between going through the motions and trying to really perfect what you're doing so you can go out and do something above and beyond when the time is ready.
Love it. And I promise, okay, we're at 20 minutes. So, okay, now we can table the fitness industry stuff and get a little bit more into, you know, things that are going to be applicable to everyone that is tuning in. But like, this is very much not just for me, but for the audience. This is kind of like an introduction, into you, John. And like, I'm always curious whenever I go and I get to grab people at summits and like people I haven't seen for a year or something like that, like always my first question is going to be, because like it's usually stuff that's like not going to be in the lectures and stuff like that, is, all right, like what have you been thinking about for the last couple months? Like what has been like the thing that you're kind of like, oh man, this could either change things, or maybe we've been doing it wrong this whole time, or like these are things that we maybe need to like take a closer look at when it comes to, now whatever it is, like programming or assessments or kind of like rehab, anything.
Man, I've been thinking about a lot, because we go through and I program for a ton of people. We coach a ton of people in person, online, really everywhere. So It's always a challenge to figure out uniquely what people need.
Mm-hmm.
And this day and age, I see that one of the biggest pitfalls to any fitness program or even sports performance program has become the ability to recover.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest pitfalls for our clients, because, you know, there's only so much you can train.
It's hard to sell, right?
Like, it is hard to sell.
Like, hey man, like you could say, go in the, you know, use your foam roller for, you know, 10 minutes or something like on your off day, but they're like, yeah, no, I'm just going to go watch some football on the couch.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, my last couple articles over on T Nation have been all about, you know, expediting the recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say recovery, people automatically think like, go back to like 2004 when like Brady Quinn was smashing Myoplexes on ESPN. Yeah, like that's what they think recovery is. They think it's downing a $12 shake and going like, okay, now my workout's done.
God, but what's he doing? He's probably a personal trainer or something these days.
He's probably just professional at being jacked. He's probably doing fitness modeling. Remember how jacked that dude was?
At least he had something going for him.
He bench pressed like 36 times in the 225 rep test at combine. Like, he was a beast, but I mean, that's Myoplex got him there. So, but I get the most unsexy programming schemes for recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We've been dabbling in some of the sexier things like dry needling and ART work after training sessions. But some of the simplest foundational recovery strategies are as simple as going out doing low-intensity, steady-state cardio. Mm-hmm. My preference is walking. And when you tell people that, they like literally tell you to go F yourself. They're like, are you serious? Like, walking for 35 minutes after workout's going to help me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's a very hard uphill battle to try to get them to do some of this stuff. But just as unsexy as walking is foam rolling, is stretching, and is diaphragmatic breathing and postural drills. Like, those are like, that's like the four-headed monster that I've been really trying to key in on with the majority of my clients, trying to expedite the recovery, because it's something like sleep and nutrition. You just can't fake it. And when you have all these foundations laid down, then you can start doing some fancy stuff and get more out of it. But you don't want to be majoring in the minors. You know, it could be said for fitness program. It could be said for recovery, physical therapy, nutrition, whatever it may be. You got to take care of the big ticket items first. And once you can do that, you know, most people are going to be feeling pretty good.
Mm.
And then you can start sprinkling in some cool stuff that gets them a little bit more excited about the process.
Well, like you mentioned, like it is just kind of like, it is potentially like a hard sell, because you're trying to get them to like do something that they may see as like not intense. Like, is this like weird to say, like, it's like almost like it's at so low of an intensity, it's not even worth my time.
No, that's right though. But I think the appreciation for, if you're doing high intensity training or you're living a high intensity lifestyle, like you're a business owner or CEO or something like that, for all of that sympathetic nervous system response that you have on a day-to-day basis, you have to bring it back down to ground zero. You got to get some parasympathetic response in there as well. And many people live their lives in this like hyper state.
Yep.
And they never come back down. And it really just, it kills many of the goals that they're going out to aspire to, not only from fitness, but, you know, interpersonal skills, family lifestyle skills. Nobody likes the stressed out guy that just looks like he just drank 15 spikes, you know. they respond better to somebody who can have a yin to their yang.
Man, it sounds like you really know me, man. 15s, actually it was 3 spikes a day, but it wasn't Was it 15?
Dude, doesn't it say right on, it says right on the label, they make you click a button before you buy it. Yeah, only one a day. One a day. Swear to me.
I know, but TC has no idea how much I can take. I can take so much caffeine right now. I've already had more caffeine than a normal human should have, and it's 12:40 p.m. This is like really huge, and I want to stick on this for a second because like there's obviously going to be varying degrees of what we need to do in terms of recovery. But are there other like kind of like general, you know, general strategies that you're going to give to people that are doing like that 3-day a week strength training program to make sure that they are going to be ready once Monday rolls around and we're back at day one? Like, sleep a big concern for you as well? Is that something that you spend a lot of time hitting on?
Well, it's lifestyle factors. I mean, if you're training 3 days a week, most likely your recovery is going to be fine between Monday and Wednesday's workouts. Mm-hmm. What most people have trouble with is when Friday's workout is done and they have 2 days to do something that they're going to go totally off the rails with. Mm-hmm. And many times, overtraining and all of these like scare tactics to like, oh my God, you know, you're not going to be able to recover. You're going to be in an overtrained state. It has nothing to do with the programming. It has everything to do with your lifestyle factors. So when we bring in clients, especially on the consultation model in my office up here in Madison, we look at like simple stuff and we actually have a conversation about things like sleep, things like nutrition. We make people track for a week what they're actually putting into their bodies. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of practitioners doing that, but it's the holistic model of care because you can't out-treat some of these lifestyle factors. You can't out-train some of these lifestyle factors. Mm-hmm. Unless you take care of things like sleep, nutrition, and stress, I mean, you're wasting your time if you're trying to create dynamic results for your clients in a fitness or rehab setting if you're not taking care of the big bucket items.
Well, like what strategies are you guys using for helping people get better sleep? Because that's something that, you know, it seems like I hit on with so many guests is that there is still, I mean, there's some decent strategies for sleep, but again, it's like the foam rolling thing or it's like the recovery thing where you almost need to convince people to do it because they want to, it's like the Walking Dead's coming back. So people are going to stay up and watch that or like, I don't get the Game of Thrones thing, but people are going to watch Game of Thrones, which is going to keep them up to 11 plus another half an hour so they can tell people on Facebook that this guy died again. And they're going to have to wake up at 6 o'clock and they're going to be a little bit, you know, behind on their sleep for the week. So like, are there any strategies or any ways that you use to, you know, convince the people that you're working with? Like, yeah, this is something that we need to do because I know that's something a lot of trainers struggle to get across with their clients.
Well, I don't think there's any like convincing. I think people will buy into the system once they see results from the system working. And I try to like combine all the shit that people don't want to do together and try to like get this synergy model to see if they can get the most results possible. Because then if you use four strategies all at once, they're going to be buying into that system as opposed to one thing as opposed to another. Something that we've been using to try to maximize just like restful sleep is putting in a parasympathetic recovery workout right before bed. And I say workout loosely.
Right.
What we go through is a full body foam roll. So we use more of global foam rolling techniques. So we're doing like the larger passes on the big musculature, not to break up scar tissue or not to, release muscles, but we want a systemic response that's just going to tap into our body's ability to decrease heart rate, decrease respiratory rate, decrease blood pressure, you know, all those vital metrics that everyone's so jacked up on all day. We want to just bring them back down. So we start off with about 5 to 15 minutes of global based foam rolling. We second that with static and dynamic based stretching. I call it biphasic stretching. So it's a combination of those two things together. Again, it's going to be on the prime movers, those postural stabilizing musculature that really just get the shit beat out of them on a daily basis, sitting at a desk or even in training. And then from there, we go right into a deep diaphragmatic breathing response for maybe about 10 minutes. And boom, you're ready to go to bed.
Love it.
And it's something that you can't watch TV when you do this stuff because I want your eyes closed. I want you in a supine, legs elevated position so we can get some lymphatic drainage going when you're doing your breathing. So it's stuff that they're forced to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes about 20 minutes to get through all of this stuff. But guess what? That 20 minutes, you don't have that blue light in your eyes. You're mm-hmm. not watching TV. You're doing everything that you need to be doing to kind of calm yourself down in order to just streamline the sleep process. I mean, obviously, there's a whole lot more that goes into the science of sleep, and I don't pretend to be an expert in that. But what I do think I am an expert in is, you know, getting dynamic results for people in terms of biomechanics, in terms of systemic recovery, in terms of training. So I try to use the knowledge that I have to try to create good results for people in, you know, the really complex stuff that if we can nail, it's one of those big bucket items that we're talking about.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's get a little bit into, you know, programming and stuff, because that's something that it's been quite a run since I've really had anyone on into like go in depth on like hypertrophy training, and you're the perfect person to talk to about this stuff. And yeah. That's something that like, I think, I mean, we're getting, God, this is like so weird. I feel like I'm almost going back in time to saying this term, but like, yeah, we're getting into winter, so it's bulking time. But no, I'm just kidding, guys. So let's talk a little bit about hypertrophy, because this is something that like we're still going to have, you know, those people. It's not always going to be about fat loss. Like there's still people going to be coming in and saying like, yeah, they're going to be, you know, whether they're ectomorphs or whatever, they're going to be coming in and saying, yeah, you know, what I want to do is I want to put on 20 pounds of muscle. Or I want to, you know, just look bigger and I want to get stronger. And what is going to be the avenue for me to do that? And like, the thing is like, you're coming at it with like a little bit of a different angle, because you have like the functional hypertrophy training program, which again, there's people that have great hypertrophy training programs out there. But again, like you were saying before, you're coming from a specific angle with this, and you know, you kind of understand like, all right, as we start to add volume, we need to like watch out because injuries can start popping up and little things like, you know, shoulder issues and hips and knees and or low back, whatever can start popping up. So like what was your kind of angle that you're taking on this program? Were you kind of looking at like the older population, or you're kind of just building something that can be applied to like kind of wherever anyone is at?
Yeah, FHT, you know, it took on a life of its own because it was, you know, they say 10 years in the making, right, before we released this thing. But mm-hmm. I wanted a single program that was a program like I train my athletes. Mm-hmm. And I say athletes, you know, clients that come in that I have a physical practice or literally field and court sport athletes.
Exactly.
And I really do think that the maintenance and the enhancement of muscle mass is one of the single best things that you could possibly do to add function and longevity to your life.
Absolutely.
It's something that not a whole lot of general fitness public are going to go, hey, yeah, you know, I want to build my glutes, my hamstrings, and my quads so I can have better hip stability. I can have less lower back pain, and you know, I can look great in a pair of jeans. But mm-hmm. if you can come at it with a different angle, like I did, where we built out this program based off of foundational movement patterns, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like the physical therapy stuff.
Yeah.
People appreciate it more because they feel like they're training like an athlete still. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, working into hypertrophy-based set and rep schemes. They're hitting metabolic stress. We're doing some hardcore conditioning. We're doing cardio. We're doing all this stuff. It's a very eclectic approach to building muscle. But my first and foremost goal for people is to stay healthy, because that needs to be the number one thing. You know, mm-hmm. if you cannot stay healthy, if you cannot feel good on a daily basis and not wreck your joints in the process of any fitness goal that you have, then you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, there's many programs out there. There's bodybuilding programs. There's CrossFit programs. There's sports-specific programs. But guess what? This day and age, we're hurting more people in the gym than ever before.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to admit that, but it is true. We see more injuries to youth athletes. We see more injuries to recreational barbell sport athletes, to the general fitness population, that I've ever seen before. And I think it's been worse in the last 2 or 3 years than it was earlier on in my career.
Sorry, we got to pause for a second. Recreational barbell athletes. Are these the CrossFit Like, are we talking?
Well, I look at power lifters. I look at Olympic lifters and, of course, CrossFitters. So any fitness sport that would use a barbell.
Okay. And I wasn't going to specifically, like, bring up, I mean, CrossFit, it's almost like a little bit of a running joke in terms of the injuries, the YouTube videos of people falling off of 14, you know, 45 pound plates that they decided to use for a plyo box. Just lots of curious, some curious options that people used for their programming and their performance. But, I mean, that's what I was kind of like looking at when talking about this, because now, again, you're kind of coming from that angle. And I think when people think CrossFit these days, it is awesome that, especially for women out there, like the CrossFit body, like that, the body that is kind of like advertised as the CrossFit body is a strong body. It is not just a super lean and or yoga body. It's a body of strength,
no doubt,
which is awesome to see. But I think the problem is, and this is where we run into with, like, no matter what kind of gym that you're going to go into, there's going to be bad coaches no matter what they're coaching. And there's going to be great coaches no matter what they're coaching. You go down to Kelly Starrett's gym and have the best coaching experience of your life in CrossFit, because they kick ass. They're fantastic coaches there. But you could go to a quote-unquote box CrossFit where people like went to the weekend course and then opened up a gym and people get hurt. So I guess is that kind of like what you're looking at is, you know, trying to think, you know, how can we put all this stuff together to get people stronger, to get some hypertrophy out of them, and to give them that experience that they're kind of being advertised like on the ESPN CrossFit games, but do it in a safe environment. And what does that look like?
It's funny you bring up CrossFit. Yeah, I always get asked about CrossFit because we work with a ton of CrossFit athletes and gyms. Mm-hmm. You know, majority of the people that we go out and run seminars for are CrossFit facilities. Mm-hmm. And this isn't 5 years ago. This isn't 10 years ago in CrossFit. I would argue that the education of a CrossFit coach is as high as it's ever been, because guess what? They're the guys that are going to these seminars. They're the ones that have to claw to get clients because there are so many options out there. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that need to be creating great results and create resilient bodies that don't get injured for their clients, because that's how they make a living. And it's just so polarizing right now that it can be easily to differentiate a good gym from a bad gym. But it was interesting. When we first released FHT, we released it January 1st of this year. And we built it up slowly. But we had a huge influx, an organic influx of people coming in all after the CrossFit Games, or after the CrossFit Open, excuse me. And it took me a couple of weeks to realize who was buying this program. And I looked at it and I was like, CrossFit, whatever. They all had the CrossFit email addresses. And I was like, holy shit, you know, these people are drawn to this program because they're looking at trying to, you know, do what we do with this functional hypertrophy training program, train with barbells, train squats, deadlifts, presses, all of that cool stuff, but just get away from, you know, the quote unquote CrossFit WOD model. Mm-hmm. So we had a monstrous influx of these people and we had really great feedback from them because they were doing something a little bit more structured. We put goals and we put different nutritional plans to the goal to make sure that we're actually getting at what we want to be doing instead of just exercising. Mm-hmm. I think that was a very, very cool experience to see people come off of the open and have a good amount of success with this. But again, one of the biggest factors of being able to do what you do forever, which is, you know, any physical practice that you have, is staying healthy. And I think a big emphasis in this program was placed on details of execution, because every program is going to look sexy on paper. I'm going to tell you right now, FHT doesn't look sexy on paper by any means, but when you look at how to execute certain movements pristinely, that's how you guarantee pain-free training.
Exactly.
It's all about the execution. It's about the intelligent implementation of certain strategies on very simplistic tools, very simplistic programming, but executing in a very diverse manner.
That's like the next step, right? We got to like make unsexy training, like the new, like, God, like, here's a terrible analogy, but it's like the girl next door, right? It's something that like looks normal, but it is beautiful in its like normalness and not having to be flashy for the sake of differentiation from everything else that's out there. Like, that is like why at MBSC, like, that's why our programming is so successful. You look at our program, it's like, wow, this is like kind of, man, it's like, look, they did hip dominant, knee dominant, horizontal push, horizontal pull, or maybe it was vertical, and then they do a core and they have a 40-minute warm up. Wow, that's like, huh, it's not that special. But it's, you know, having a great solid program that actually has some like foundation to it and some principles to it, you know, teamed up with some great coaching, like that's going to be the perfect recipe.
It always is. And this day and age with the fitness industry that lives online, you know, the online trainer specialists, we're missing the fact that people need to be coached. Movements need to be coached. We need to develop patterns and skill sets that can work for a lifetime. We need to be preaching the self-sufficient model.
Mm-hmm.
We're not keeping people around just to, you know, have them pay us money. We need to be giving them tools for a lifetime. And I'm thrilled if somebody can get something out of my programs, or they can get something out of my coaching or a consultation in my office with me, that I can literally in a couple hours hand them tools that they can use for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I know I'm doing a good job. But I think, you know, the value in the expertise that coaches give in person, but also, you know, the emphasis that they place on the details that they're given, that's where the true beauty lies, because stuff's not going to always be sexy. It's not going to be exciting, but figuring out how you get through that and how you continue to just get to whatever your goal is, if it's a lifestyle goal, if it's an aesthetics goal, a functional goal, you know, how do you get there? How do you maintain it for a lifetime?
I can't believe like I'm looking at the time. We've already been talking for, oh my God, like 45 minutes. So, okay, there's a couple more things I want to hit on before we wrap up. And I think that, again, this is like, people have tuned into the show in the past. Like, this is what I like to do. We're definitely going to have this as kind of like a, you know, a first look at John and the awesome stuff that he does. And definitely we will reconnect soon if you have any questions on anything that has been hit on in this episode. So make sure that you are kind of like taking notes. And if you do have those, start sending them into questions at thefitcast.com or Kevin at thefitcast.com. I don't know if that other email address still works. That's what happens when your domain is 10 years old. So okay, there's a couple of things I want to hit up. A pain-free performance is something that we've kind of been talking about a little bit in the last, you know, couple of segments. But I'm also kind of curious, like, what are you doing in terms of you know, warm-ups and things like that? For, you know, what do you think the warm-up structure should look like for people to be primed for a performance and to make sure that we don't put them in a place of potential risk of injury and things like that?
Definitely. It's something that we've coined about a year ago, which is the 6-phase dynamic warm-up sequence. Wrote a couple articles about it. There's some free content over on my site on it as well. But literally, we want to be touching upon all of the big ticket items in a dynamic warm-up. So I have 6 phases to it. It starts off with SMR work. You only spend a minute or two there. You go into dynamic-based stretching, dynamic oscillatory stretching, a lot of movement, not static base. You go into 1 to 2 hand-picked corrective exercises that have goals attached to them.
Mm.
The goal is to not have to use them anymore and maybe get a different corrective exercise or not have to do corrective exercises. Mm-hmm. So that's the 3rd phase. 4th phase, we move into activation drills. So it kind of couples with that corrective exercise where we want to be activating musculature. We want to get great contractions out of them, making sure that we have great stability through, you know, the spine, but also the hip and shoulder joints. From there, it gets a little bit more movement-based. So we get people up, and we want them to be practicing and solidifying their foundational movement patterns. So we try to match that with what they have planned in their workout for the day. So if you're squatting that day, then you're going to do a squat for your foundational movement pattern development or some variation of.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hinging, you're going to be doing a hip hinge for your foundational movement pattern. And when I say those foundations, I have 6. We go through the hip, hinge, we go through the squat, single leg pattern, which could be like a lunge or like a single leg RDL. And then we look at the upper body with upper body push and pull that could be vertical or horizontal in nature. And then the last one is some sort of locomotion. So it could be a carry, it could be a sprint, anything that you're actually moving your body throughout space. Mm-hmm. And then the last phase to actually get people juiced up and ready to go is always a CNS development activity. It could be jumps, it could be med ball throws, it could be sprints, really anything just to juice the central nervous system one last time before you get into your actual programming. But I mean, a good dynamic warm-up, if you're not facing any huge issues, any huge dysfunctional movement patterns or pain provocation, then you should be able to get out in 6 minutes. So that's what we kind of try to coin. Like, if you are super diligent, if you don't have any fluff in the program, everything is executed properly, boom, boom, 6 minutes and you are ready to go to get the bulk of your program done. That's going to create the best results.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned like the timing of that stuff, just because, you know, we were an industry of hard swings. So like when warm up started, like people were like, oh yeah, we should start warming up. And you started seeing people like warm up for 45 minutes and lift for 15 minutes. And you're like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm just not getting stronger. But, you know, I did my warm up, like I prepared and I, you know, prepped everything and was ready to go. But like at some point, yeah, you got to cover all those things, but you got to lift.
You do. And you have to prioritize. You can't kill 50 birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get in, you got to match your goals up with what you're actually executing, and you got to actually train. Mm-hmm. You know, the only time that we're going to actually go over 6 or 7 minutes for any client that we have is if it's like cold as hell out in Madison and it's negative 20 and we have them on the treadmill for 5 minutes before just to get some blood flowing. But that's about it. But it's harder as a coach or as an athlete to choose 6 movements. It's just harder. It's inherently harder than going out and choosing 20 movements because the strategic thinking of what you're going to get the most out of, it takes some decision making.
Love it. Okay, now we're coming up on an hour. So this is, again, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of like get started here. We're going to reconvene in a couple of weeks, and we'll definitely do a follow-up as long as you have time to do it, John, and,
yeah,
and
no
kind
doubt.
Of go from there, because there's definitely you know, some more questions on programming and you know, putting everything together. But I think that's a good place to start. But for people that do want to check out your stuff, Dr. John, now I'm worried about Russin. You almost see we had this like behind the scenes talk about pronouncing John's last name, and I had it right the first time, and then he scared the crap out of me thinking now I messed it up.
That's what I get for having this like old Polish cutoff name, you know.
Man, it's you know, it's my fault. You know, it's like, again, I should probably run a tighter ship here, but I don't.
Nah, you're doing good.
but also, like, where can people check out your stuff on the social medias and all that awesome stuff?
Our website's our big hub, drjohnrussin.com. All our social media handles are over there, producing great content. Have a team of 20 writers over there also doing great things in their specialty niches. So very cool look at not only fitness, but physical therapy and injury prevention over there.
Fantastic. Yeah, guys, make sure that you're checking out John's stuff. And as I mentioned before, and I'll do it again, make sure that you do send in some questions, or just keep an eye out on Twitter and Facebook. If you have any follow-up topics or questions for John, we'll definitely hit on those. In the meantime, it does mean a lot. I mentioned it at the start of the show, but it does mean a lot if people do support the show by becoming a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/thefitcast. You guys are the main support of this show and help me do it, you know, for these, you know, last 50 or so episodes. And I really appreciate all those Patreon supporters. It means so, so much. And if you don't want to go through Patreon, you can actually, you know, use a credit card. You can go through PayPal at fitcast.network. You can make a one-time or set up a monthly donation, and anything you can do to help support the show and the network would be, again, greatly appreciated and help me do this wonderful project that has been going on for over 10 years now. Holy crap. It sounds so weird whenever I say that every single time. But yeah, thank you again so much. You can find the show on iTunes. There's more great shows on Fitcast Network at fitcast.network. And you can find all of my social media stuff on there as well. John, thank you so much for taking the time to come on, man. It's great to finally, you know, chat. And I can't wait till we get to reconnect again so we can go even more in depth on this stuff.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It was a great time.